Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hi, Cardinal fans. I'm Ozzie Smith.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go.
And you're listening to the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Well, hello. Welcome to the September 4th edition of the program. My name is Brett McMillan. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Glad to have you. And I think that you'll be glad that you decided to tune in because we have two great conversations for you. Ozzie Smith going one-on-one, first with Matt Carpenter and then with shortstop Paul DeJong. They're talking baseball, the 2018 season, salsa, the big turnaround, a myriad of topics covered in both of those conversations. I think that you'll really enjoy them over the next 35 minutes or so. And it's just cool. I mean, these current players open up to Ozzie and kind of drop little nuggets to him as a Hall of Famer that most of us maybe wouldn't be able quite to get out of them. And it's just neat to hear the reverence and respect for Ozzie and the way that they level with him and talk ball in a way with him that they can because he is a Hall of Famer that, you know, they just can't with me because I've never played the game professionally. But before we dig into that, do want to remind you not to miss the Cardinals-Dodgers series at Busch Stadium. It's coming up the weekend of September 14th through the 16th. Great giveaways all series long, including a 1928 jersey, 90 years since that 28 team won the National League, the club's second pennant all time. There'll be a 2013 National League Championship ring. It's a mystery ring. You won't find out what player you get until you open the box. I have seen those. They are amazingly cool. In fact, Ozzie said it looks just like the one that he got as an alumni. They get rings every time we win a pennant or a World Series. He said it looks like the real deal. And then the third one is a Mark McGwire bobblehead holding up that fist in the air, reminiscent of when he hit those historic runs back in, or home runs rather, back in 1998. It is three awesome giveaways again, September 14th through 16th. Dodgers in town. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions. I don't have to tell you that it's been an extraordinary turnaround for Matt Carpenter. It has been Pujols-esque to me, the way that he's been locked in and delivered in big spots here in the second half of the season. The last guy I can really remember doing that consistently over the course of a couple of months, every time he came up in a big spot and delivering is Pujols, Albert Pujols, when he was here. And Matt Carpenter has been on that kind of clip for much of the second half of 2018. At least that's how it's felt to me. He did hit 155 to open up the season in the first 25 games, and then things really began turning in June. Just had that crazy July, which really has elevated this thing to a new level. And at this point, because of the way he's hitting, I think that he's in the NL MVP discussion, I mean, firmly in the middle of it here in 2018. Ozzie and Carpenter talk about hitting. They talk about the turnaround. They talk about the famous salsa, which has been a dominant storyline here this season. All those and more topics covered right now. Ozzie Smith and the hot-hitting Matt Carpenter on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ozzie. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for being here. First of all, let's talk about leading off. Have you always led off?
Never led off in my life until 2013 when manager Mike Matheny came up to me and asked if I'd be ready to do that. And I was ready to do that and pretty much been there ever since.
What is your thought process as a leadoff hitter?
You know, one of the big things that I don't even have to think about, that just me naturally, the kind of hitter that I am, just fits well in the leadoff spot, is seeing a lot of pitches. I've always been that guy. I've always been a guy that goes up there at the plate and is trying to have long at-bats, very patient, swings at strikes. And that is something that you want out of your leadoff guy, for the rest of the guys to be able to share that information after that first at-bat of the game, have six pitch at-bats, see everything, come in and say, hey, the guy's curveball's doing this, it's doing that. So that's that's kind of my philosophy about it, is go up there, have a good at bat, see a bunch of pitches, be able to share that with the guys.
Yeah. Now, you've been hot. You got hot here of late. When you're hot and you're swinging the bat really good, do you ever think about, and I'm coming to you from the standpoint of what happened when we played, when guys were hot, how they try and move you off the plate, come inside more. What is your thought process? Do you ever think, or is there any fear of a guy who throws extremely hard of coming in? And
It's definitely in the back of your mind. I mean, you think about it. I don't think it's near as prevalent today as it was, you know, when you guys played and even before your time. I think it's a little bit of a lost art, but there's certainly guys that still will try to make you uncomfortable, push you off the plate with those fastballs in. And, you know, nowadays it seems like, you know, everybody's throwing 95 plus. So, I mean, there's definitely some fear in there, you know, but one thing that you got to do as a hitter, and you know as well as I do, you've got to be able to combat that mentally and just stay with your approach and know that, you know, if you continue with that, to look out over, even though if they run one up and in and back you off, they still want to go back out away.
Right.
That's where they want to get you out. Mm-hmm. So to be able to just, have conviction with that mindset, that's what I try to do.
Now, when you get in the zone, what was it that allowed you, or what was it that clicked that got you in the zone?
You know, it's funny. You know, a lot of times in my career, there's something that you can just look back on and go, oh, man, that was it. This year, it's been a little different because, to me, it felt more like a gradual buildup more than anything. You know, I credit that slow start to a few reasons. You know, it doesn't really get talked about much, but we just talked about it a few minutes ago, was the fact that I pretty much missed all of spring training. You know, I was hurt, just couldn't really get into that, you know, pre-workout mode. And, you know, whether people want to believe it or not, spring training is an important part of your season, getting those kind of first kinks out of the way. And so I missed that. That was a big part of it. The other big part of it was April was, and I think the numbers show, just one of the coldest months of baseball I've ever played.
And I tell you don't like the cold.
I hate the cold. You know, no batting gloves, it's a bad deal for me.
Yeah.
And we played, it felt like every game that first month in sub, freezing temperatures. I mean, we had record lows all across the country. There was games canceled. We had two games canceled in Chicago due to weather. So it was ugly, you know, and I hit some balls hard and during that time that just, you know, didn't go anywhere because it was cold or were hit right at guys. So, you know, it was a rough month for me, but I just continually built on what I felt like I was headed in the right direction. Kind of used April as my spring training and then catapulted from there.
Yeah. Now, what is your, explain to us what your everyday routine is. You know, in preparing. You know, most people see us at 7 o'clock when they say play ball.
Yeah.
To me, all of the work is done before then. What is the prep like?
No doubt. You know, I'm a guy who gets to the field early. I'm usually here sometime between noon and one. I'll go into the weight room. First thing I do is I get here, get to the gym, do whatever. I have weight room. Workout wise for that day.
Is that every day or?
That's every day, but now it's not a lift every day. You know, there's days we'll go in there and it'll just be like an active warm up, stretching, get ready to go out prepare. But I'm gonna start my day in the weight room regardless. Today, for example, was a workout day. So I went in, got my lift in, and it's usually 2 to 3 times a week where we're actually lifting weights. The rest of the time, it's just getting your body moving before you go out and do any kind of work. So I'll start in the gym, I'm in there from 30 minutes to an hour based off of if I'm lifting or not. And then I take that into, the video room. I'll watch the starting pitcher that I'll face that night for just a quick kind of overview, just to see what he's doing, what he's got. And then I'll go into the batting cage. And from there, my routine, I'll start off the tee, take a few flips, kind of groove my swing from the night before, get a good feel for that. That goes into our BP work, take some ground balls at your position, take some BP on the field, and then I come off the field, just enough time to have a little snack, some kind of food before the game. 6 o'clock hits, I'll go back in the video room, and that's when I really kind of prep a little bit more in detail with what the starting pitcher is doing that night, the relievers I might face in the game, more video work, and then take that right into the game.
Scouting report guy, and you look at the scouting report every day?
I do, I like it. I feel like I've gotten to a point in my career now where I'm able to separate what's too much information and what's valuable information. So I'll look at what we're doing defensively, scouting report-wise, where do I need to play guys to give me the best chance to make a play defensively, and then also who I'm facing, what they like to throw, what they like to throw to hitters like me, what they like to throw in certain counts, that sort of stuff, and then come up with a game plan for the night.
Yeah. Now, you play a lot of, they've had you play a lot of different positions. How does that affect you as a player?
You know, it doesn't affect me a ton. I will say that it's tough to stay sharp defensively when you're moving around. Because, you know, you can never really get in a groove at a position. And, you know, people who don't, and you know this, people who maybe never played the game don't know this, but you can get in, just like you can get hot offensively, you can get hot defensively. You know, you can get in a rhythm defensively. I mean, some guys play their whole career hot defensively like you, but you can get hot defensively, you can get cold defensively. And I've gone through stretches of that, haven't bounced around. I have noticed that the times that I've played my best defense in my career is when I'm grounded in one spot, stayed there. And so, but as far as like people always wonder, does it affect your hitting? I don't think it has anything to do with hitting. I think I've been able to separate the two, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. We won't get to it. Salsa. Tell us about, give us a story about salsa. I haven't heard the whole story about the salsa, so give me the full story.
So basically, here's how it started. I'd been making salsa for probably 6 or 7 years now.
You talking spicy sauce, salsa.
My own salsa. I prefer it hot, so when I'm cooking it for myself, I get it hot. When I'm making it for others, I'll tone it down some because not everybody likes it hot. But I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years.
What is it with you infielders here, man? Everybody cook.
I don't know.
But you guys aren't overweight.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that could be it.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's something that I've always done. I've been into it. My dad is also into it. My brother's into it. We've been cooking sauce for a while. And how this thing kind of really took off was Adam Wainwright, as some of us know, is a huge gardener. He's got a huge garden in his home back in Georgia. He's got a big garden here in St. Louis. And he's really into it. He's good at it. He knows what he's doing. So this year during spring training, I went up to him and I said, you know, I hope this isn't the last year I play with you, but if it is, I want you to teach me everything you know about gardening. Because I'm into it as well, but I don't know much. So that conversation started to grow, and we started talking more and more about it. And anyway, long story short, he goes on the DL this year. And while I went on the road in May, I came back from a road trip, and Adam had came over to my house secretly, without telling me, planted a garden in my backyard. It's got everything in there. Big, nice garden.
So, I mean, tell us, what's in the garden?
We got tomatoes, jalapenos, all the ingredients for salsa. He's put zucchini, pickles, not pickles, cucumbers, you turn them into pickles, strawberries, all kinds of tomatoes, bell peppers. I mean, literally, if you can think of it vegetable-wise, it's out there. And he did it all, and it turned out great. And it just so happened that as I got this garden, first thing that I wanted to do, one of the things I wanted to create was make salsa. It just so happened that the timing of this, the salsa, the garden, was the same time that I started to swing the bat really well. I brought a jar of this salsa on the road in Chicago, and that's when I had the historic game, and I posted it on social media. People went crazy of it. I woke up the next day and was like, should I eat it again? What do you guys think? Everybody was on board about eating it again. Had another good game.
And superstitious.
Superstitious.
Okay.
So it just kind of took off from there, and now teammates are eating it. We're starting to win. We've gotten on a roll. I think we've had the best record in the National League in the second half, and it's got to be the salsa.
Got to be salsa, as the shirt says. Now, do all the guys wear? It's
got
to be.
Everybody's
salsa.
Got one. You know, we all wear them, and yeah, it's.
Do you sell it as a? Is it a family business?
This is not. So this is a. You're talking about the salsa.
Yeah, the salsa.
The salsa, I have not sold it. A lot of people are asking for it, but yeah. Maybe one day. Not yet.
Yeah. Well. Can I have this?
That's your jar. That's your jar.
All right.
That's for you.
I get to taste the salsa.
Drop his strokes down.
Maybe I can putt better. But what has been the change with this team? We've seen the change. Same personnel, but we've seen a change. What has it been? What's the key?
You know, I can credit it to a few things. I think that one of the big things is obviously you know, Mike Schilt has came into a tough situation. Anytime you lose a manager in a mid-year, it's just it's an awkward, tough situation to step into. And you know, obviously Mike Matheny did a great job here for a long time, and Schulte's came in and just found a way to reignite kind of you know, the energy in a season that was kind of, we were struggling, you know, and he stepped into an uncomfortable situation. He's done a great job of it. That's one of the big reasons. The other big reason is what you're seeing is in the youth movement here in St. Louis. Some of our younger players stepping up in a big way, playing with a ton of energy. I mean, guys like Harrison Bader, who are so exciting to watch, bringing so much energy to the ballpark every day. That's been a big reason. And then I think the other big reason is, for whatever reason, and we talked about it all year, but we felt like this team had the ability to go on a run, and now we're seeing it. You know, that time has come. So I think you factor all those things into it. I think that's why you're seeing it.
Yeah. What are some of your goals for the remainder of the season? What would you like to see yourself accomplish that you have not to this point?
For me personally, I usually don't set out a ton of individual goals. Most of my things that I'm focused on are more team related. You know, obviously, it's left a really sour taste in my mouth the last two seasons, not being playing in October. I mean, you get so spoiled here in this uniform, wearing the birds on the bat, having a chance to play every year in October, and to miss that the last two seasons, it's really, really grinding on me. It's grinding on a lot of our guys. It's grinding on our veteran players, especially guys like myself and Yachty and Wayno. So number one thing is to find a way to get back to October. And I think that we're headed there. We're headed in the right direction. So that's my sole focus.
Well, I want to thank you for visiting with us. It's always great watching you play, and continued success.
Thanks, Isaac. Appreciate it.
Back in our Busch Stadium press box studios, special thanks to Matt Carpenter. Fun to get to hear him talk about his season with the great Ozzie Smith. Paul DeJong coming up in just a minute. Of course, he's the shortstop nowadays here in St. Louis, but back in the 1980s, Ozzie was wowing as the Wizard of Oz at short, and we're going to hearken back to that decade with 80s Night at the Ballpark. That is slated for Friday, September the 14th. With the purchase of a special theme ticket, fans receive an exclusive 80s-themed Cardinals dugout jacket. Come early for a rad pregame concert by that 80s band on the Alltech Lansing stage. Again, that is Friday, September the 14th. Tickets available right this moment at cardinals.com/theme. Alrighty, shortstop to shortstop here. The two talking about Paul's health. Of course, he missed right around 6 weeks with a broken hand. Got hit in the hand in an at-bat. I believe it was a Sunday night game in mid-May. Took another at-bat, and then eventually they pulled him out of the game, and x-rays showed that he did indeed have a broken hand and missed some time with that. Got back into things, and really has been clipping along here in the second half and trying to prove himself in his sophomore season. I think he's done a very nice job of that. They talk hitting. They talk defense. Two guys that, they can be authorities on shortstop because they played it in the big leagues. One of them in the Hall of Fame since 2002. That is Ozzie Smith and Paul DeJong one-on-one right now on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Paul, how you doing?
Good to see you, Oz.
All right. Great to see you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Let's get right to it. How's your health? How's your hand?
My hand's doing great. You know, I feel like physically I've been good since I came back, but it's been more of an adjustment for me to come back mentally and just trying to stay within myself, not trying to do too much, but lately I think I've been getting back in the swing of things.
During this time off, what'd you do? I mean, what kind of things did you do?
I was just working on my rehab here in St. Louis. I was able to start doing baseball activities relatively quickly, so you know, I kept my conditioning and my workouts up and infield work with Cheo, and those are the things that seemed worse than playing. I'd rather be on the field than grinding and rehab.
Now, are you a player that spends a lot of time looking at video and that stuff? I know you know, today there's a lot more video and stuff available for players to look at. Do you take advantage of that?
Yeah, I think lately with our new system, we've been looking at relievers' videos in the dugout, you know, on those iPads we have right before we go up and face them. I know I've even looked on deck at the guy's video right before I face him, but overall, I just try to look at pitchers. I don't necessarily look at myself as much. I like to look at, you know, the pitcher's movement, what pitches he's got, and how he uses them, and that's the kind of information I like to know when I go up to the plate.
Yeah. From the injury, has that bothered you any from a defensive standpoint?
I don't think it's bothered me from a defensive standpoint at all. You know, I think a broken hand is about as minor of an injury as you can go through. You know, bone heals fairly quickly, and it also heals stronger than before. So for me, having just a broken bone, that's nothing.
No. You know, now, Illinois State, right? Rocket scientists, nuclear physicists. What in back in our day, what they would say is that you're what we call a college boy. Mm-hmm. You know, do they give you a hard time about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay because, you know, I worked hard for my biochemistry degree, and it's kind of funny to take a at bat here in Busch Stadium and see up on the Jumbotron the little, whatever you call that, little animation of me with the chem lab. I think that's pretty sweet. I mean, you know, I always enjoyed my time in college, whether it was academics and sports, but to me, my true identity is a baseball player, and here I am in the big leagues, and, you know, that's something that I think supersedes my rocket chemistry.
Do you have you found any real good reason to or any good place that would come in handy, a biochemical degree? I mean, not many baseball players have biochemical degrees, so where would that fit into the scope of things?
I'm not sure. I was thinking maybe personal development as far as, you know, diet and exercise and the way your body relates to the outside world, or how you maximize your own body. I think that's an important thing for players to know, just because we rely so much on our physical health that, you know, that's something that's important you got to watch out for. So maybe there's something in my own personal health I can do better.
Oh, okay. Do you have any superstitions?
Not really. I don't really believe in superstition. I believe in routine and, you know, your preparation, but superstition to me makes it seem like it's out of your own hands, when I like to believe that I'm in control of more than I think.
Yeah, you guys have had a quite a turnaround here of late. With the Cardinal made some changes as far as management is concerned. Mike Schilt, tell me about Mike Schilt.
Mike Schilt, I had him just throughout the organization, just being in spring training, just kind of get to know him, and last year had him on as the bench coach, and this year as the bench coach to start, sorry. But Schilty is a guy that's been with this organization forever. A lot of people know him, a lot of people have played for him, but I think what people like most about him is the way he communicates, the energy he brings every day, the lack of ego. He shows up to the park knowing how hard this game is, but not running from the challenge. He's ready to accept these challenges in stride, and you know, I think our record has shown that we like playing for him.
Yeah. Let's talk about your first walk-off. You finally got your first walk-off on the 13th of August. What was that like?
Well, it was a wild game. You know, we've been streaking, and, you know, we had a couple-run lead in the ninth, and, you know, things didn't go our way, so they ended up tying the game, and I knew I was leading off the inning, so, you know, they scored a couple, and I just came into the dugout and thought it was like any other at-bat, and it was against Kota Glover. He was throwing those cutters up and away and kind of a yank fastball up and away. He has decent stuff, so, you know, I was trying to be really selective, and I got to a 3-1 count, and he gave me a 96 right down the middle, and I was ready for it, and I don't know. It was just one of those moments that I was so fired up. It was earlier in the game, Carpenter hit the 3-run bomb to go ahead in the eighth. I mean, it was just a back and forth game. So for us to win that, and for me to be, you know, instrumental, that was just something I'll never forget.
So does a team feed off of you say Carpenter hit the 3-run homer?
Mm-hmm.
Does a team feed off of that?
I think so, definitely. I mean, watching Carp all year, he's brought everyone else up with him, especially lately. So having those types of moments, I think, really fires up our team. And for me personally, I wasn't feeling like we were going to lose that game. I knew we were going to win that game. I just didn't know how. So it's more like a calmness feeling that we all get in there and we know we can do the job and we know we're pulling for each other and we can pick each other up when we're down.
Okay, what are the goals for the rest of the season?
Keep winning series. I think if we just focus on playing our game and winning series over and over, I think the results will take care of themselves.
Day to day, just taking care of today. Mm-hmm. Is that something that Mike Shildt, does he stress, taking care of today?
Definitely. I think one of the big changes with Shilty is that we have hitters meetings every day, and we talk about what happened the day before, and we talk about how to win today. So today we're going to have a meeting. We're going to talk about starting pitcher and what kind of weaknesses they have that we can exploit, and we're going to talk about how to win today.
Biochemist, chef. You like cooking, too.
I like cooking.
Now, I did you say that? I love to cook, too. So it must be a shortstop thing that it's very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Very therapeutic.
I think cooking for myself is one of those things I enjoy just because playing in season, we have people cook for us all the time. You know that. And when you get a chance to make your own meal, I feel like you get some satisfaction and the food tastes better, you get better nourishment. I just think it's better for your spirit. So I love cooking. I learned how to cook when I was in middle school and maybe even, probably around middle school.
Middle school?
Just helping out around the house.
What do you enjoy cooking? What are your specialties?
Healthy food, but I know a couple recipes my dad taught me, like steak au poivre, which has that peppercorn cream sauce. And
you make the cream sauce too?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you reduce the cream and then you flambe the cognac after you cook the steaks and you toss the cream.
So you're talking gourmet.
I can whip it up. I don't necessarily get too crazy with the recipes. I like the classics, but mm-hmm. I also like improvising as well with whatever I have in the fridge and the pantry.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now, getting back to baseball, you're behind guys. You're mentioned in the same sentence with guys like A-Rod and Nomar Garciaparra's shortstops hitting home runs. Do you look at yourself as a power hitter?
Yeah, I think so. I think my identity is going to be a doubles and home runs guy, but I also been working. I'm trying to be a guy that can hit for average too. I think I'm a guy that can have both hit tools, and for me, that's about managing the strike zone and understanding what pitches I'm looking for. Lately, I think I've been doing a lot better job of working at bats and getting those mistake pitches that I can drive. And to me, I think I have a lot more development left to go as a hitter, and to me that's exciting.
Does that include like hitting or using the whole field?
Yeah, for sure. And I think last year I did a better job of using the whole field. I don't think I have a right center home run this year. Last year I had quite a few, so to me I still think I have some adjustments to be made, but I think naturally I have the ability to use the whole field with power.
Why is that? Do you think that because of the way they were pitching you, that forced you to pull the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, I think lately guys have been throwing a lot more fastballs inside, and that gets me thinking pull, and then the off speed on top of that, it's going to make me think pull, because especially if it's my off-speed approach in general is pull, because if I'm staying on the fastball to right center, then I'm going to pull the off-speed pitches. But, yeah, I think guys have been attacking me more inside with fastballs as opposed to last year it was more away and I was able to kind of go with it. So still trying to look away and react in, but, it doesn't always work that way.
So now, do you hit off the fastball or you hit off breaking pitch?
I usually have my timing based off the fastball. There have been times this year where I felt like I've been in between, and that's never a good spot to be in. So Carp has gave me some good advice back in Pittsburgh before that Miami road trip, and said, hey, you look like you're in between these next five at-bats. Just try to stay on the fastball and adjust to the off-speed. And I had some success very soon after that. So I think in general a good approach is to always be ready to hit the fastball through the middle of the field.
So it sounds like that second year is, as they say, is that learning year, mm-hmm. where you really have to figure out what type of hitter, what type of player you're going to be.
Seriously. Last year, I felt like I was almost just blacked out the whole season. I just went out there and played, didn't really think about too much of what I was doing or what they were doing to me. And this year, I have a lot more time to think, so it could be good and bad, but also I feel like I'm learning a lot by myself.
Let's talk about the position of shortstop. What makes a good shortstop, in your opinion?
I think you have to have, you know, physical abilities, like good hands and a good throwing arm, but also I think you have to have instincts. You have to be able to anticipate where the ball is going to be hit and, you know, positioning yourself in order to make plays.
Yeah, now you also played, before you became a shortstop, you were a third baseman.
Mm-hmm. I always considered myself a natural shortstop growing up. I always played the shortstop position until I got to college, and then they moved me around a little bit. But to me, I think I had the best view at shortstop. To me, I had the best angles, the best reads, better than I was at third.
Now, so that position, you find yourself more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Who were some of the guys that you, besides me, that that you admired when you were growing up?
Well, you were a little bit before my time, but I always
heard of you doing backflips
and stuff. But Jeter, I watched, A-Rod for a little while. But to me, I was just focused on playing myself and learning it, being out there on my own and trying to figure out the position. But shortstop has always been one of those things that when I was a kid, I wanted to be a big league shortstop, and it's so much of an honor to play shortstop for the Cardinals here, especially after not being able to play it my whole life. So I really, really enjoy every day being able to come out here and run out there on that field and stand there in the middle.
Well, it's fun watching you, and you've learned well.
Thanks, Ozzy. I look forward to learning some more from you over time.
All right.
Thank you to Ozzy, Matt, and Paul. Really, really enjoyed that. I just thought it was tremendous, and I hope that you did too. I could listen to those guys talk baseball for hours. We are back next week, which is September the 11th. And for that, we take a little bit more of a serious tone to the podcast, but one that I think you will probably learn a lot in. I did, as we talked to Brian Bartow, the head PR man for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's going to just discuss what that day was like, September 11th, 2001, a day that changed all of our lives. And because it's a Tuesday, which 9/11 itself was on a Tuesday, and because September 11th is the day that our podcast actually falls on, I wanted to take this opportunity just to get another look at that day in American history. What was it like in pro baseball? And I found out that it was a little eerie, just like it was for the rest of us, that it was bizarre. There was no normal rhythm like there normally is with games canceled. In fact, the Cardinals got stranded in Milwaukee because the FAA had shut down all air traffic. So they had to bus back to St. Louis. Brian has some really interesting stories about Mark McGwire, Tony La Russa, and the 0-1 Cardinals kind of perusing across the Midwest, just trying to wind their way back down to St. Louis after those games were cut short in Milwaukee. And then also an anecdote which just blew me away about how Jack Buck tested out that famous poem that he read at Busch Stadium the day that games did resume. You do not want to miss this episode. Again, a little bit more serious than normal, but boy, really worthwhile, and some stories that you probably haven't heard anywhere else and that you'll be glad you dial back in for. So I hope to have you with us again on Tuesday, September the 11th. As always, we are out in time for the drive home, and you can listen cardinals.com/podcast, iTunes, and proud to say now, anywhere that you get your podcast. The folks at Major League Baseball Advanced Media doing a great job. We now are virtually anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, any of those places. We're out there. You can listen to the Cardinals Insider podcast. Just search Cardinals Insider. And of course, love to get your emails. You can send us some feedback to the show here. It is the best place to do it is by email. That's podcast with an S at cardinals.com. Hey, as always, it's been a pleasure. Really enjoy hanging out with you. Thanks to Matt Carpenter, Paul DeYoung, and Ozzy Smith. For all three of those gentlemen, my name is Brett McMillan. Catch you next time on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.